You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
What a wild week, right? Snow on Tuesday, 20 degrees Wednesday. Such is life in Canada. Well, my name is Richard. If you're joining us for the first time, it's great to have you here. And we are in our Lenten series called The Cross, and we're centering around arguably one of the things that still to this day literally divides our calendar. We record time around the events of Jesus' life, particularly his death and then obviously his resurrection. And so we've been working through some encounters, individual encounters people had with Jesus, and more specifically with his crucifixion and how it deeply impacted them in many ways, transformed them. And so we're going to be jumping into another individual's story today. And I was thinking about how any sport lovers here, anyone just loves sport? I played sport, maybe didn't play sport, but you just watch it, whatever it is. Maybe it's baseball, we're coming to baseball season, basketball, hockey. Where I'm from, the part of the world, I grew up playing cricket and rugby. Does anyone know those sports? But anyway, I'm a fan of sport. And I think about the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, Summer Olympics, how every 4 years I become an expert in the most random sports. Synchronized diving, for instance, or gymnastics. Ooh, she could have tucked in a little bit more there, lost some points there, or weightlifting, powerlifting, archery. I mean, it is so easy to be an expert on the couch, right? So easy to be an expert on the couch. There is a danger of spectatorship, because in some ways it feels like you're in it, and it feels like it's so easy, or not easy, but like, gosh, I could think I could do that. And then the reality is like, no, you probably can't do that. You know, you could barely swim 100 meters. Like, come on, it's 400-meter individual medley. You should be able to do better than that. But I think a lot of our life, a lot of technology has made our lives easier. A lot of our technology has made our lives a life of spectatorship. We watch news around the globe from the comfort of our couch or on the TTC or wherever we're going about our day. We watch news unfold from a distance. We scroll through others' lives on social media, right? We scroll through people's lives on social media, spectating from a distance. But maybe if we took that a little bit further, a little bit more sober, more weighty, we observe tragedies from a distance as well. And if you're honest, sometimes we say, gosh, I'm glad I'm not there. I'm glad that's not me. And this is probably what was going through the mind of Simon of Cyrene, and he will be introduced to you right now, when he found himself unexpectedly in a place that he never thought he was going to be. And so I want you to join me. It'll be up on the screen. It's just one verse, Mark 15:21, and we're going to read together here. It says, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. So I would just like to tell you, you have all now officially become experts on Simon of Cyrene, because that's all the Bible tells us about him. He's referenced in Matthew's gospel, he's referenced in Luke's gospel, pretty much the same information that you see there is there. Literally one verse in this guy, but there's a reason why. You know, if you get your name in scripture, there's a good chance there's a specific reason why your name is there. And so we're going to look at his story today, how his unexpected involvement with Jesus, and specifically the cross, in some ways mirrors our own spiritual journeys. And so we're going to look briefly at just three parts of his journey, three parts that he participated in, probably involuntarily. I mean, I read that verse, study that verse. I mean, there's only so much you can do with that verse. And here we're going to preach a sermon on that verse. But it probably leaves more questions, right? What was he doing there? Why was he in Jerusalem? Was he Jewish? He was from Cyrene, which is modern-day Libya, North Africa. Was he an African? Or was he a Jew, a part of that had been scattered? There's so many questions that Scripture doesn't answer for us. But nonetheless, there are some things we can piece together just in this little brief verse. Of course, we know the other part of the story. We know where this goes. We know where Mark 16 goes. We know where Saturday and Sunday goes. But let's just kind of dwell a little bit in Simon of Cyrene's shoes at the moment. And the first thing is, he gets swept up in the injustice of the cross. Simon says he's coming in from the country. What was he doing in the country? We don't know. But he was coming in from country. Maybe he had an Airbnb there, and he was coming into Jerusalem. And he finds this crowd, and he joins the crowd, and he soon realizes it's another person that's going on the way to crucifixion, right? Crucifixion, we know, wasn't unique to Jesus. It was a cruel way that the Roman Empire controlled their people, or made sure that people didn't rise up against the power of the Roman Empire. And so all of a sudden, out of the crowd, they pick him. The Roman soldiers pick him and ask him, not ask him, force him to carry the cross. Now, that wasn't the cross like we see it here. It would be just the one part, the cross beam. And it could be anywhere from 75 to 125 pounds. Now, I don't know when last you were in gym, but that's a lot to carry, especially when you're not prepared to be carrying it. They force him to carry it. An innocent bystander is suddenly caught up in the injustice of Jesus' death. I think maybe we could imagine Simon thinking, why me? This is so unfair. And have you ever had that in your own life? Why me? This is so unfair. Why does it happen to me? We know that experience, I think, all too well. Life hands us injustices or burdens that we didn't choose, that were thrust upon us, a diagnosis, a layoff. A government makes up some random stuff that now affects everyone around the globe. Stuff like that, it's out of our control. A family crisis, we didn't choose it, but now it's thrust upon us. And it probably feels as weighty as that crossbeam did on Simon's shoulders. Yet even a little bit in Simon's story, and of course we know a little bit more of the story, it hints that even unfair burdens or injustices can become part of God's story, God's purposes. God has a way, an incredible way, a redemptive way of working all things, good, bad, ugly, in your life, my life, in the world, toward his purposes, and actually ultimately for our good. But nonetheless, he's swept up in the injustice of the cross. Second thing he's swept up in, he's swept up in the suffering of the cross. If you've ever watched The Passion of the Christ, the movie, if you've ever seen any depiction of the passion, the week leading up to the cross and then the crucifixion, you will know it was Jesus was scourged, he was whipped. He was literally a broken man as they're now walking him up the long journey towards Golgotha where he's going to be. He's physically done such that he can't carry this cross. And so the next question is, are the Roman soldiers getting Simon to carry his cross out of compassion for Jesus, out of convenience, or just out of cruelty? And again, we don't know the motives, but probably not compassion. Convenience, now they know that he needs to be crucified. They will be held account if they don't have a crucified man. That was Pilate's command. That's what the crowd wanted. But probably a mixture of convenience and cruelty. They want to see this man go through the agonizing death that is crucifixion. So Jesus is physically broken, unable to carry the cross, and so Simon has to step in, heaving a heavy beam through a jeering crowd. It must have been exhausting, right? It must have been relentless. Suffering has a way of doing that to us, has a way of grinding us down, even if it's physically or mentally or emotionally. But here's the other thing about suffering, and Simon didn't know it quite yet, but I'm sure as he reflected on this, he would have come to this conclusion that his suffering identified him with Jesus. And there's something in the Christian story that takes even the cruel and hard parts of life, like suffering, that almost all of us, none of us are going to be exempt from. And somehow redeems it that we, and sometimes when we go through our suffering, particularly as it relates to following Jesus, identifies us with him in a way that we will never have if we don't go through that in our lives. That we know that Jesus suffered tremendously for us. And in those parts of lives where we find ourselves on the end of suffering, we can feel his empathy, his imminence, as Bert was referring to when just previously, that yes, he's all powerful, But he knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to fear rejection, to have rejection. He knows what it is to have his closest friends, even family, reject him in his time of need. He knows what you and I are going through on a human level. Why? Because he walked it. He went through it himself. And so it doesn't mean that we like suffering. It doesn't mean that we should welcome suffering. It's a part of God's creation that should break us. You know, I think about Jesus turning up at Lazarus's tomb, one of his close friends. He knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But how does he approach Lazarus' tomb? Not with an arrogance and cocky, watch this. This is the coolest thing you're going to see in a long time. What does he do? He's crying. He's angry. Because why? Death is not how it should be in this world. Injustice, suffering, hardship is not how it should be in this world. We should be provoked at that. It shouldn't sit right for us. We shouldn't make peace with it in that sense. However, God can use it for his glory, our good, and the good of his kingdom if we will allow him to. I think of Paul. I think you can, if you read throughout the New Testament, the followers of Jesus, almost all of them had a story of suffering. Church tradition tells us that his closest disciples all were martyred for the faith in ways that were cruel, like Jesus was crucified, and many on from there. I think of Paul, one of the most prominent followers of Jesus in the early church, how often he talked about his hardships, he talked about his suffering, he talked about even physical challenges that he had, but he didn't see it as pointless. That's a big part of it. He didn't see it as pointless, but it marked his union with Christ. It brought him closer with Christ, and it probably brought Christ closer to him in those moments, and it was a path to reveal Jesus to others. That's another part of us going through times of suffering well. It is a way that can be a witness to others. If you were here last week, we referenced Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the 1930s, was a Christian in Nazi Germany, and he had a decision to make. Was he going to allow the Nazi regime just to subsume Christianity and coerce it for its own purposes, or was he going to stand up and say that this is not the way of Christ? And so I'm so glad he did, but it cost him. It actually cost him his life. And so there are moments in our lives where standing up for the cross, standing up for Jesus and our witness may produce suffering. Simon is thrust into the suffering of the cross. And then lastly, the third thing is that he's swept up in the shame of the cross. The cross wasn't just physically heavy, it was humiliating. It was a humiliating way to die. It was designed so by the Roman Empire, a very cruel way to die. And he's an innocent man kind of being thrust in. All the jeers and the mockery that Jesus is getting is now by identification coming to him too. And he finds himself bearing the shame of the cross. The crucifixion was a public disgrace. And so by association, Simon's now swept up in that too and paraded alongside Jesus, bearing the crowd's taunts and mockery. And so Simon bears the injustice, the suffering, and the shame of the cross that he didn't deserve, just as Jesus did. But that leads to an unexpected transformation. And so let's see how the story moves on. Simon didn't choose this path. Soldiers forced him in. But something shifted and changed in him doing that. Something shifted and changed in him picking up the cross, literally, and following Jesus. In that one verse that we read, Mark gives us some details. It tells us that Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, Mark is writing for a predominantly Roman audience. In other words, Mark is writing for the Roman church. And so there is a longstanding consensus that Alexander and Rufus would have been well-known people, right? He would reference that because people are like, Alexander, yeah, I played pickleball with Rufus the other day. I know that guy, right? Like, so what he's saying is that it looks like Simon's family became followers of Jesus. In Romans chapter 16, Paul never visited Rome, but writes a letter to the Roman church. And at the end, he's thanking a whole bunch of people, and Rufus pops up. And so we're not 100% for sure, but it's very likely this is the Rufus that is the son of Simon. And so I'm telling all that. It looks like all these details tells us that Simon didn't just carry the cross in its shame and injustice and its suffering, but he also got to the other side of the cross, the power of it to transform and change, not just his life, But look at his family's life. The cross he carried changed him, and it led to generational transformation, certainly in his and his family's life. And so you and I, you may not have chosen your struggles. I may not choose my struggles. Some of our struggles sometimes are our own stupidity. Let's be honest and acknowledge that, right? Sometimes you're suffering not because of anything else. It's just you did a stupid mistake, right? Like sometimes we just need to own that. But other times, we don't choose the things that get thrust at us. We don't choose, like Simon, we don't choose to get thrust into these things. But oftentimes, if we look with discerning eyes, it's where God meets us, incredibly, where God meets us and changes us. And so as Simon was reshaped by his experience, you too, I am, every single person is invited into this transformative journey through carrying the cross. Simon was compelled to carry the cross, but Jesus invites you and I, calls you and I, to pick up the cross. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so maybe, perhaps, there's another reason why Mark includes Simon of Cyrene for us, because it's a very visual, visceral, embodied picture, literally, of picking up that cross. And so Jesus' words ring true, not just for Simon, but rings true for us here today. And let's be clear, Jesus' call to pick up the cross isn't for suffering's sake. It's not about suffering just for suffering's sake, but it is about stepping into the life that he offers you and I on the other side of denial and surrender. And so what Simon was probably going to very quickly realize that on the other side of the cross is resurrection, life, and power. That yes, there might have been some injustice. Yes, there was some shame. Yes, there was suffering. But on the other side of that, there was also resurrection, life, and power through the cross. And there is no other way to resurrection, life, and power than through self-denial, surrender, and us picking up our cross. You know, denying self, right? It's not something that's largely encouraged today, right? Denying self really just means that you don't make you the centerpiece of your life, right? For us, denying self means we make Jesus the centerpiece of our lives. And at the centerpiece of our lives, he gets to control and do what he wants in our lives. But we do that willingly because we trust he does the best job of controlling our lives than we ever could. And that only comes through trust and knowing his character. And so some people are reticent to give control over their lives, whatever aspect of their lives, to Jesus, because I think sometimes in the back of our minds, we think we could do a better job. Or we're not sure what kind of path he's going to take us on, if it's going to be the best path for us. And so those are real wrestles you and I have to wrestle with, but go underneath it. Where's that coming from? Do you honestly think that you, with your limited wisdom, your limited capacity, your limited experience, knows best to do with your life than the unlimited God, omnipotent, all-knowing, and 100% good and loving towards you? And so denying self, it's not just about self-deprecation. It's not just having a martyr complex. But what denying self does is it frees us up to follow Jesus. It frees us up from the entanglements of putting me at center. And that's a daily thing that we and I need to confront in ourselves. Who is leading this life? Am I taking it back into my hands, or am I constantly relinquishing control as he shows me areas of my lives where I'm kind of holding on a little bit tight, white-knuckling it over here, Richard? You're white-knuckling your finances here. You're white-knuckling your relationships here. You're white-knuckling this or that. And God wants you to release that and trust him and see what he does with your life and my life. And then as we do that, we take up the cross. We take up the cross. Not necessarily in the way that Simon did, because we know the other side of it. We take up the cross to experience the power and the victory and the transformation that the cross speaks to us. And so it is a paradox. The cross is an incredible paradox. Carrying the cross does lead to death, but on the other side of death is resurrection life. Michael Polly is a Canadian theologian, and I love what he has to say about the crucifixion. Here's a little quote in one part of his book. He says, "In his crucifixion, Jesus conquered the unjust conquerors of this age, including even the otherwise unstoppable twin powers of sin and death." And so when we come up to the Easter weekend, we come up to it sober because we understand what it cost God. But we also come into it with just incredible hope and purpose, because this is how God works. At seemingly the darkest, most defeatist hour of Jesus was the key to the most victorious reign and power that Jesus was going to exercise on this earth. That in the moment where Satan and all the demons and evil and death had him in his grip, "We've got him," was their undoing. How about in your darkest hour, perhaps God might be bringing out the most beautiful thing in your life? How about in the most destructive habits in our lives, if we turn to him, he can bring about the most freedom we've ever experienced, if we will deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. When we stop spectating, when we stop looking, the cross, we stop saying, "That's beautiful." When we stop having it tattooed on our bodies or wearing it at necklaces and jewelry in our lives, when we actually pick it up in our lives, that's when transformation happens, when we die to ourselves and rise with him. All right, so how do we go from spectator to cross bearer as we bring this to a close and then come into a beautiful communion moment? So Simon's story reminds us that carrying the cross is not a punishment, but it is central to God's plan. The same cross that Simon carried would be the cross on which Jesus would die a few hours later, and in doing so would cry out, "It is finished. It is done." Simon of Cyrene shared in the injustice, suffering, and shame of the cross, but in doing so, he was also able to share in the power and the life of the cross of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus doesn't call you and I to admire the cross, to believe in the cross from a distance. He calls us to pick it up and follow him. Something happens to us when we actively participate, when we get off the couch and get in the game. It's way different than sitting on the couch. Christianity is way different when we're sitting and spectating, when we're consuming. It's way different when we actually get active as best as we can, imperfectly as that is going to always be. Something happens, change happens when we actively participate in the cross and in following Jesus. We're no longer victims of injustice or suffering or shame, but instead we become those who participate in the victory and the life and the power of Christ. And so we're going to land this thing and invite Bert to come and lead us through a communion moment here this morning. But Simon was forced to take up the cross, but today you and I must choose whether or not to do the same. And so the question is, will you take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow him? Let's pray. Jesus, we are incredibly humbled by what we read in Scripture of all that you went through physically, emotionally, even spiritually, God, the cutting off of your relationship with your Father. As the weight of my sin, the weight of the people's sin in this room, the weight of the sin and the evil and the injustice and the shame and the suffering and the death of this world was put on your shoulders. God, as you were crushed for that darkness, God, we are thankful that you bore that so that we could step into the light, into victory, into your power, and into your life. And so, Lord Jesus, as we hear your words to us, will you deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me, God? We know that it's not an easy thing. We know that it may call us to experience moments of injustice, of suffering, of shame for the cross. But Lord, help us with courage to gladly do that, because we know on the other side of that lies your resurrection, lies your victory, and lies your power. That we are proud to associate ourselves with you, not just in your resurrection, but in your death. Because in your death is my death, the sinful self, the self-centered self, the self that will lead to destruction. And then as I put myself on your death, I rise anew with you in your new life, in your new creation, God. And so I pray that that story would be our story here today. That Simon of Cyrene's journey to the cross and through the cross would be our story to the cross and through the cross. That we too could experience the transformation, not just for ourselves, but our families and for generations to come. We ask this in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.